Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting podcast of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 40, and it is April 5th, 2017. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been keeping track, this is crazy. 40 podcasts. And of course, who's with me this week but none other than the vivacious Kerry Blowers and the victorious Kent Waldron. Guys, how are we doing this week?
Good. How are you guys?
I don't know. I'm still trying to find out if Amazon has that two breakfast sandwich maker on sale for $18 or not. So I'll let you guys know when I'm done whether I'm good or not.
It's good to know that you're focused on wrestling, Kent.
Always. Oh, I'm sorry. I gave wrestling a few minutes of my time the past few days, so, sorry.
It is true. This is the big wrestling week. We've had nonstop wrestling pretty much since Friday, and if you really want to count the week before, other than Thursday, I pretty much watched wrestling all week last week, too. It's been a crazy week, and lots to talk about.
Yeah, lots. I'm not seeing it. I'm getting a little scared that it's sold out.
Now, is this it makes two breakfast sandwiches at once?
Yeah, so you put your little English muffin on the bottom, you put, your cheese, your meat, your veggies, if you're that kind of person, and then you have a little dish where you do your egg, and you pop the yolk, and then up top you have your other half of your sandwich. You flop it down. There's a timer, depending on what kind of stuff you want to do. Usually it's about 3 to 5 minutes, unless you want to go a little something more ambitious. And then it's done. Your own little Egg McMuffin.
That sounds delicious.
But two.
Yes.
Two of them. For fat asses like me.
All right. Well, you keep on keeping on with the search there. All right. Let's move right. Let's just go through the week as it progressed. I think that's the best way to handle this, so we're not going back and forth on any of the topics. So this week, we're going to start with anything we want to talk about from the Hall of Fame. What did you think? What were some of the thoughts? Did you like it? Did you enjoy the time? What's going on? Kerry, did you?
It sold out. It sold the fuck out. So bad.
Okay, so Kent enjoyed it. Did you watch the Hall of Fame, Kerry?
Yes, I did.
All right, so what were your thoughts?
All in all, it was a good show. Great speeches by DDP and Beth Phoenix. I thought Beth Phoenix's was very, well, emotionally driven and just really, really well done. And of course, Kurt Angle's was just great as well. I mean, everybody did a good job, but those were the three that stood out in my mind.
I really like Teddy Long's, because it was shorter and to the point and funny. Kurt's was also short, which this is becoming a theme where, like, the last person, the person who should get the longest, is getting rushed through their speech because dickheads can't get their fucking dicks out of their mouth in the beginning and just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Like, seriously? Why do these, the first three all took 45 minutes apiece? Why?
Yeah, I was going to say, it was weird that Kurt Angle only got, 10, maybe 15 minutes?
Yeah, it was short. I mean, it was really good,
yeah,
but
it was good.
We all wanted at least one or two stories of, him and Triple H, him and Austin, him and somebody.
Yeah.
I wanted the Taker on an airplane story. That should have been told.
Yeah, and that's why I don't understand. He didn't tell any stories. All he did was talk about some of his bits that were admittedly hilarious, but he didn't really tell any stories. I was kind of shocked, and he's kind of lost his chance to do it now.
I really did not care for the Eric LeGrand speech, and it went on way too long for a guy that has nothing to do with wrestling, and that's something that needs to be stopped. The people who win the Warrior Award, I'm all for the Warrior Award. I'm not all for these people taking more than 5 minutes to give a speech because they have nothing to do with the history of wrestling. They did not contribute to wrestling. Therefore, they're taking up time at a wrestling Hall of Fame. At least, Drew Carey, he contributed more to the wrestling industry than this guy. Not that this guy's not a great guy or whatever. But stop. This is where shit gets bad. And then you got, like, the old-timers, like the Rock and Roll Express, who had one really good line, and then the rest was, look at our hair and how bad it is.
True. I didn't watch all of theirs because I got bored, and I didn't really know them anyway, so I was like, eh, whatever.
They were the precursor to the Rockers. That's all it
right.
was.
And I enjoyed DDP's. I thought his was hilarious. And I thought Bischoff's stories were good. So
Bischoff was really good on his induction speech,
yeah.
As was the APA. I thought they were pretty good. And props to Ravishing Rick Rude's son. That guy has size and actual, like, charisma, some presence to himself. Is he not athletically gifted or something? Because he could be a wrestler from everything I saw.
Yeah, he looked like a wrestler, but I don't think he was, because he didn't... I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. That'd be an interesting thing to look at.
I want to talk about DDP really quickly,
sure.
Because I saw this thing last night on one of the news things. He was on an ESPN radio show with Dan Le Batard, who I follow weekly on... he has a TV show called Highly Questionable at 4:30 on ESPN, and it's hilarious. And they even did an interview with Kurt Angle a couple weeks ago. They're wrestling fans, and they're talking to DDP, asking him, like, about real-life feuds, and DDP kind of misinterpreted it. He told, like, the same story he told from the Hall of Fame. I don't remember which story is one of them, though. And they're like, no, what about you and Flair? So he talked a little bit about Flair, and then they're like, what about you and Steiner? And DDP flips the fuck out, starts dropping F-bombs, and then he just gets off the air. I don't know if they gave him the boot or if he just hung up. It was crazy. It was good, but it was so unlike DDP because, I mean, we all kind of know him as a pretty peaceful, positive dude. And the radio hosts weren't really asking him anything. I don't know. Do you think it's over the line to ask a wrestler, hey, did you have any real-life feuds in the locker room since everybody else tends to?
I don't think it's out
Is that over the line?
I don't think it's over the line. It's a reasonable question.
Right. If you've had a Hall of Fame career and you know that there's been legit beefs backstage, it's a reasonable question. Why would you agree to do an interview if you're not expected to answer something like that?
True. Yeah.
It was a bummer to actually... It was funny as hell to listen, because like 5 minutes later, they're like, did he just cut like a wrestling promo on us, or is he really mad?
Like Paul Heyman did that one time with Stone Cold, because that was incredible.
Yes.
Like how fast they could turn it on like that. It's interesting. Now, did anything strike you as odd from the Hall of Fame? Anything like you thought was kind of weird, like story-wise or anything like that, that you wouldn't expect?
I can't recall anything.
Odd? No. I mean, I guess the most biggest revelation for me was how instrumental Molly Holly was in Beth Phoenix's career. And I'm sitting there watching Molly Holly, and I'm sitting there thinking, why the fuck is she not in the Hall of Fame yet? Like, she should be ahead. First of all, Miss Elizabeth should be in there.
Yes.
Then China. And then you go with Molly Holly and Victoria before you get to Beth Phoenix and Natalya. Like, that's kind of how the progression should go.
Well, China,
Molly Holly is a surefire.
I don't think China's ever getting in.
China was brought up, though, a few times.
Mm.
Eh.
That's.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
China's a tough one to do.
Well, yeah, because...
But she belongs.
Oh, she definitely belongs. Definitely. Isn't she the only woman who's ever won the Intercontinental Championship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was stupid.
It was, but she still won it. That's history-making in its own.
I kind of give Jim Ross credit. He was asked about the Benoit not being in the Hall of Fame thing, and he gave, like, the most reasonable response yet. He said, all right, so what? Say we put Benoit in. The whole murder thing, no matter what, is going to overshine and cast a shadow over everybody's induction speech. The whole Hall of Fame is just going to be about Benoit being in it, not about the other five or six people inducted.
Mm.
And it's a negative light for the whole class, not just for him. So I was like, that really does make a lot of sense.
It does. It definitely does. All right. Let us talk about next. No, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. NXT. No, I'm kidding. Let's talk about NXT TakeOver. Thoughts, opinions, matches. What do we got going here? Carrie, how was NXT TakeOver for you?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I did have a few issues with some of the outcomes, like Asuka retaining. I just don't understand why she isn't on her way to the main roster at this point. I mean, really, what else does she have left to do in NXT?
While that's true, right now, the women's divisions, do you really want to move up when you can be the queen in NXT? It's almost better at this point, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, fair enough. Still, it just seems like she's ready, but that she's floundering.
Oh, she is definitely ready.
But aren't they kind of keeping her down to just see how she does as a heel, because they've been slowly moving her heel the past 3 to 6 months? Like, I don't know. That's how my understanding is, that they're just keeping her down there to see how she can if she can pull off heel, right?
I don't know. I think the way I look at it is she runs the show down there. They need big people down there right now. I mean, they're...
No, they don't. That's the problem. No. That's a bullshit argument from bullshit people like bullshit you. Because NXT was fine before they started bringing in all these big names. Now we've gotten so acclimated to these big names, they're like, oh, man, we don't have a big name in every match at NXT TakeOver. No, this is developmental. Rue doesn't need to be there.
No.
Eric Young doesn't need to be there. Asuka doesn't need to be there. Ember Moon, debatable. I don't know how good she is on a mic, so maybe she needs a little refining. Shinsuke. Joe was in there for over a freaking year.
Well, Joe,
none of this stuff's necessary.
Well, I was gonna say, the only thing I thought with Joe is Joe wanted to be down there.
The problem is, why not just take these guys that you're not using on the main roster that have been old, like when they used Rhino, and fucking do that? Like,
reverse
have
it.
Known guys that their career is pretty much gone,
right?
And have them. I mean, without Rhino, Baron Corbin doesn't really develop.
I could see that. So if you're getting too old, you go to NXT. But if you're in your prime, you should be on the roster. That's WWE.
Yeah,
though.
I really, these young guys are the ones that should be stealing the shows, like, you know, the tag team match. The young guys should be stealing the show. The younger ladies should be stealing the show. Not these guys that have 15 years under their belt.
True. But it doesn't hurt to have some of these guys with the 15 years under their belt helping those developed. It's, you know what I mean? Like, the matches we had.
So you like part-timers at WrestleMania?
That's different. That is a totally different argument.
No.
Yes, it is.
No. No, it's the same premise.
Not really, because Rude, Joe, they're still in the prime of their careers, where, I don't know, let's go with Austin or Ric Flair wrestling just makes me want to vomit. No, Austin wouldn't. I'd love to see Austin one more time.
All right, but in all fairness, we're also talking about guys and girls that are like 5 to 10 years behind the main roster, right? So if we kind of slide the Ric Flairs and the Austin 5 to 10 years, it's the same sliding theory here. The older people don't need to be taking up the big spots.
You're right. It should be the younger. It should be reflecting younger talent. You're correct. Which is kind of what they're doing now, almost. Because they've taken out a lot.
Because they've kind of run out of indie stars to take.
Yes, they've taken them all. So, Carrie, what was your favorite match?
Definitely the tag team match. That was good.
Yeah, I'm surprised how... Okay, I shouldn't be that surprised. They're great. They're
really, you're surprised by a match with the Revival on NXT?
Revival is probably one of the best tag teams ever, period. We'll see how future plays out for them, but they are really good. And DIY, they're innovative and good, too. It was just... I'm just surprised how good... They've had 3 in a row now, right? Tag team? Tag champs? Or... the tag divisions had three in a row, basically. Sorry, I kind of messed that up. Of, like, the top-notch match.
I think you can go back to every NXT except for Orlando and Texas last year, Dallas. Every single NXT takeover was dominated by the tag match.
That's what's shocking to me. It's still the best. Like, you know how you'll get, okay, that was awesome, but the next week or the next month or so, it's not so great.
So Sasha versus Bayley.
Yeah, it's they are just consistently hitting it. And I'm like, holy crap, that's awesome.
Because tag team wrestling's not hard to book.
It isn't.
But WWE on the main roster seems to be like, we don't get it. Like, what is there to get? Just say Arn Anderson book all tag team matches, they're fine. But no, they can't figure that little microcosm of fuckery out.
That's true. Okay, so that was probably everybody's favorite match. Let's go with...
Yeah, how about you ask a hard question, like, what was the worst match on the card? Because I think it was universal.
Okay, I was going to say,
tag.
Next one, what's the worst card or worst match that you thought? What was the one that really was blah to you? Carrie, do you have one?
Wasn't there one with, like, Ty Dillinger and company in it? Yeah, that one didn't do really anything for me.
Yeah, it was Insanity.
Yeah, that one.
Just Sanity, not Insanity.
Sorry, you're right, it was.
They're not a clown posse.
Yes. They look like a clown posse, but they are not. Kat, what was yours?
I don't know. I wasn't paying enough attention. I was getting drunk while Ron was getting even more belligerently drunk.
So you still haven't watched all of it?
No, I still haven't, because, you know... Like, I need to watch another 2 hours of wrestling this week, right?
That's true.
Like, I still have a vlog to write, and yet I'm still like, 2 hours. I could be... You know what I can get done in 2 hours? I can watch, like, a good TV show, I could watch porn, and I can get at least an hour in of video gaming. In the time that I could do Takeover. What would you rather do, Russ?
Well,
TV show, porn, and video game for an hour. Or NXT Takeover.
Well... When you put it that way, I just do the video games, porn, and watch NXT in the background.
Russ, that's kind of...
That's a lot.
Why are you watching porn and sweaty men at the same time? That's a little weird to me.
Well, Kat, when you're an expert like I am, it's not so weird.
Russ, you don't win friends with salad. And you sure as shit don't even do that.
You do not win friends with salad. So, I have to say, actually, my... least favorite, and it's sad, was the, because they're two good guys, but it was Almas and, I don't know who the other guy was.
Black.
Who was the other
Black.
Guy? Oh, yeah, Black.
Aleister Black.
I was looking for more. I'd heard, you know, you talked a little bit about them, kind of exciting, and I was kind of excited about it, and the match was just, wasn't terrible, it just wasn't my cup of tea.
Well, I mean, that match wasn't that great, but Aleister Black's entrance was kind of badass.
That was cool. But that's it. Like, I was looking for more out of them. Maybe I just had them up here because of Kent. And
Andrade's a really good talent, but he works good with... He's kind of like a Dean Ambrose. You give him the right opponent, the guy can have killer matches. Wrong opponent... It doesn't always translate so well, and in this case, I don't think it translated so well. If you've seen any of NXT matches with CN versus Oni Lorcan, who, by the way, keep your eye on Oni Lorcan because he's my next guy that's going to be huge in a while. Those matches are phenomenal. They're hard-hitting, fast-paced, they tell a good story. There's like three of them. Check them out. They're not terribly long.
Okay. I think I will. Oni versus...
Andrade.
Andrade. Okay, Andrade. Okay, I'll look those up. All right. Main event. Let's talk about that real quick, and then we'll hit what grinds Kent's gears. So, main event. Did it deliver what we'd hoped? Because that was one of the bigger ones, one of the big matches we were hoping for. Was it good? Did it exceed your expectations, or was it meh?
It was good. I mean, it was kind of you know, Shinsuke's swan song, if you really think about it. It was a good match. And Rude's entrance, as always, was just fantastic.
Yeah, both entrances were really good, I thought. I mean, Shinsuke's was pretty normal, but Rude's is cool.
I don't even remember their entrances. Oh. what were their... I'm being 100% serious. I'd had a few shots and some drinks, and I don't remember.
I don't remember Shinsuke's too much. It was just the violins, and he came in and did his normal thing, which is always cool. But Rude had the piano player.
No, dueling pianos.
Oh, yes, dueling pianos, yes.
I miss dueling Yeah. Wow.
And then he came out on a pedestal, and it was rotating, and he was doing this. And it just looked so good. It was awesome.
God damn it. I guess I am going to have to watch that.
Yeah, it was really good. But the match to me, this is what I'll say about the match. The match to me was, it was good. I would never say it was bad because it's Bobby Roode and Shinsuke. It wasn't what I was hoping for. It wasn't like their first match. Their first match was, it was the dog, top dog there. I don't know what to say. It's good. It was really good. But, and this was good too. I didn't feel it was, I don't know, it didn't feel as good as the first one. So.
Obviously, I don't have an opinion.
Yep, because you can't remember it.
Right. But what I will say, to add to the conversation, is do you think Triple H is going to try to hold on to Bobby Roode as long as possible? Because isn't Bobby Roode pretty much the closest thing to Triple H Jr. that we've seen yet? Like, he is pretty much what Triple H is, a plodding, methodical, in-ring dickhead, heel, willing to do whatever, not high-flying, not fancy, always has a good entrance, very good on the mic. Isn't Bobby Roode Triple H Jr.?
Wow, now that you pointed out that way, ooh. You're onto something, Kent. As always.
It happens.
Yeah, he is. All he has to do is elongate his last few words and his sentences with an And
his nose.
And, yeah, stretch out his nose a little bit, and he is Triple H Jr.
And maybe start banging Triple H and Stephanie's daughters when they're of age.
That's really, really wrong, Kent. I
was going to say, they're really, really young.
I said one of age.
Yes, but Bobby...
Because, I mean, I know Shane only has boys, and I'm not going to go that route.
Bobby Roode is also a lot older than his kids.
Russ, it pays to be rude.
But he is. Well, he's definitely ready. I thought since he came to NXT, he's been ready. So he clearly is main event roster ready. I don't know if Triple H is going to hold him there because he wants somebody like Roode on NXT because he's awesome. Because what do you think they're going to do with him when he goes to Raw or SmackDown? Do you think they'll ruin him? Like
bury him.
Yeah, right? That's what I thought. They'd bury him.
I mean, that's what they do. You get called up, they're like, no, you don't have great abs and pretty eyes, so no, we're not putting the red belt on you. And that's the extent of every NXT call-up, basically.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing I got later, but yeah, Samoa Joe. He had a really good weekend.
Certainly did. All right.
Very involved in the festivities. Very.
All right. Let's go to... Well, before we go to the main event of the weekend. See what I did there? I called it main event. Yeah.
It wasn't Saturday night. It was Sunday night.
Let's go to Kent's segment. Because I think he wants to talk about Mania. So, Kent, what really grinds your gears?
The fact that WWE feels the need to... A, bump down an Intercontinental Championship match because they want to be all PC. That's a whole other gripe that I'll get to when we get to reviewing stuff. But more importantly, the whole idea that, all right, 4 hours of wrestling is a tedious enough task with a 2-hour pre-show. When they say, fuck that, let's go another hour. And Russ looked like he had not slept for an hour. Russ doesn't look like he'd slept more than an hour over the past 5 days. He drove home before the last three matches, okay? That night took so goddamn long, it made me hate being a wrestling fan. Not because the quality wasn't good, but fuck, man. 4 hours of Hall of Fame, 2 hours of NXT, and 7 hours. God damn it. Like, this is way too long, and they need to... This is why I've long been of the belief that they need more multi-man matches and less one-on-one matches. Have 4 one-on-one matches at most. Everything else needs to be multi-man if you want to get everybody on the card. Or you do some matches in the middle of the day. You got fans there. Why not hold some events for like the SmackDown tag titles or the Cruiserweights? Like, get everybody on the card, but they don't all have to be at the main card. This could be... They have the WWE Network. There's nothing constraining them anymore. It's not like the pay-per-view days where, you know, you had your time slot, that was it. They can do whatever the fuck, so why not have a show from 1 to 3 with, you know, the other guys? Just that way, you know, if you really want that much wrestling, you can do it. And if you don't want it, okay, cool.
It won't hurt you. Right. Oh, my.
Midnight.
Yeah. Like, that is the biggest problem I had Sunday. Like, I started watching at 6 o'clock, drove over to your house, watched from then until I left at about 11:30, and at that point I was done, and there were still 3 matches to go. I was fatigued. I got fatigued right around Triple H, Seth Rollins. Like, that was where I was like, I'm done with this. I can't. And we all know Seth Rollins is my favorite wrestler, and I could barely stand to watch the match.
But you gave it a 6 in the Mania review, and I really want to ask about that.
I rewatched it because I thought for sure, I was like, was it me or was it fatigue that settled in? In fact, I do mention that in the review that I said I rewatched it just to see if it was me or not, and rewatch gave me a little bit better of a enjoyment out of it. Enough to say I would watch it again. It was fun. I liked Triple H's entrance personally. And I thought the match was a little bit better after but the fans, holy cow, they were out of it. They 100% were out of that match. And I don't know if it was because...
How could you be in the match? I mean, after so long...
Exactly. How much can
fan
you
fatigue.
Cheer? Yeah. Like, I was thinking about it. Super Bowl. Okay, yes, it's a long day, but how long is the main event? 3.5 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think of something else that's a really big event. March Madness.
There's no sporting event except for, like, the Olympics, where if you plan on being there all day for, like, a certain thing. Otherwise, there's no sporting event the length and girth of WrestleMania.
Yeah, and the girth is just too much.
Right. I just can't accept all of it at one time.
Exactly.
Too much.
A little bit at a time really eases it into watching ability.
Right. If they would just give us that 1 to 3 show, just the tip, yeah, early on, yeah, and then just...
Later on, just really hit us with the wrestling.
Maybe if they would, you know, use some of the water from Roman Reigns' hair to help lube it up a little bit, make it a little easier and palatable for everybody.
That would
be great.
That would be for everybody, too, because that's a lot of grease and water. So,
I actually felt so bad for Russ that night that... Brief, like, as you left, I was like, shit, I was going to offer you a 5-hour energy shot because you looked like walking death.
Yeah, no, don't worry about it. I was tired, but I made it home. I was so sick of wrestling. And you know what the worst part is? That match, Randy versus Bray, was terrible.
Well, why don't we talk about the card? Like,
all right, you want to go into it now? Yeah.
Yeah, let's just do it because Carrie hasn't talked in like 7 minutes and she may melt if she don't get a word in edgewise. You know.
All right. So let's talk about the card. You want to just start at the beginning of the card, work our way down?
Yeah, because the matches that we don't give a fuck about, we'll all pretty much acknowledge that it fucking sucked and move on.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, so do you want to start at the pre-show?
Yep, start with Aries Neville.
All right, Aries Neville, Carrie.
That was a really, really good match. I just don't understand... I mean, the show they put on Really, that match should have been on the main card.
And what would you have bumped down, Carrie?
That whole Miz, Maurice, Cena, and Nikki thing.
Yeah, that's never happening, because...
I think Carrie almost just swore.
She did, she almost did.
Solid.
Yeah. Kat?
You know, what she said. The only thing I really want to add to it is something me and Steve talked about on Monday is... When you're... I understand that... I think it was on USA Network they had some of the kickoff show... That's fine if you want to do commercial breaks when you're watching on USA, but if you're watching on the network, do not interrupt our freaking matches anymore. I am so done with that. I am paying you money to not watch your motherfucking commercials. I'm paying you money to watch the goddamn match. That commercial really ruined the flow of that match because it is otherwise a really good match.
Yes, that commercial. And it was funny because you called it in the review blog, and I'm just like, he's so right. It's what's going to happen. And that's exactly what they did. They put a commercial right in the middle of it, and it ruined the flow. That match, though, still, I don't remember what I gave it for a grade anymore, but I almost want to say it was one of the better top, it was definitely top two, top three of the night.
Neither of us rated it that high.
Yeah, I know we didn't, but I think it's because it killed it.
But it's because of the commercial. Yeah, the commercial. Yeah.
Killed me. And that was the worst part. Great chemistry between the two guys. Excellent finish. I'm so glad the way they did it was give Neville the win. I mean, that was the way to go. And
yeah, because it prolongs the feud.
Exactly. And it makes that, and it wasn't, it was such a not cheap win, but cheap enough to say that Aries got screwed, that it was good. It's so well done. And I'm really pissed off that they had that commercial. I agree. All right. Let's go to the Andre the Giant. Was that next?
Yeah, the ATG MBR.
Yes, the ATG MBR, as the cool kids call it. Carrie, what'd you think?
I mean, it was decent. I mean, some shocking moments, especially, you know, with the people who we thought were going to win this thing. Watching them go over the top rope, I was shocked to see, like, exactly where they were going with this. But then it was just basically a way to get Gronk in WrestleMania. By the way, he is my new favorite person. He stole Tom Brady's jersey. Did you guys hear about this?
Yes, he didn't really steal. He stole the one at the baseball field.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But still, he's my new favorite person. He's fun.
I think Kent needs to know.
I don't usually say that about the Patriots.
I hate the Patriots. I don't care who it is.
I hate them too.
Kent's broken. You broke Kent.
I think he's frozen.
Frozen in disgust.
I'm not frozen. I just really don't appreciate any nice things said about a Patriot. Now, here's the thing. Here's how bad that Battle Royal was. When you're sitting there and you're forced to be like, God damn it, out of these last three guys, I gotta pick Jinder Mahal. When you're forced to pick Jinder Mahal out of like 20 to 30 guys, you know, you've done fucked up.
Yeah, you screwed something up there.
So, the moral of this story is, find somebody who's kind of famous as an athlete, offer them fellatio, and give them tickets to WrestleMania, then you can win the ATG MBR, because Mojo Rawley would not have won that if he didn't have that little friendship.
That's what I say. I don't think he would have won that if Gronkowski wasn't a friend. It was... I didn't watch it because I asked Kent how it was, and Kent said, don't bother, so I didn't watch it. And I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Big Show's last match, that's how they did it. Like,
wait,
that's how he went out.
He's retiring after that?
According to an interview that he said WrestleMania was his last night.
Wow, he went out like a bitch.
Yeah, he went out single-handedly to Braun, who then got pushed out of the way by everybody except for Luke Harper, who was just kind of like sitting there like, you guys all look like fucking idiots. I'm going to sit over here in my black tank top.
Oh, man. I'm glad I didn't watch it. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a Patriot.
Russ, by you not watching it, you are hindering Jinder's progress, though.
That's true. That's why Mojo won. Because I didn't watch.
I did like Damo in it. I like Damo.
Okay. I don't know.
He's Killian Dane on Sanity, or Insanity, as you'd like to call
okay,
it.
Okay, yes. Gotcha. All right, I know it is. All right. Let's move on to the other And frankly, the biggest shame, one of the biggest shames of the night, the Intercontinental Championship, Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. Kerry, let's hear your nine deuce rating. As in, like, what'd you think of it?
I was going to say, is there a way to do a negative? I mean, not. I feel bad for the two guys. I have a feeling they could have put on a lot better match than what they did had they not moved that match. I'm still ticked off that he was even in the pre-show to begin with. What an insult to both guys. Ridiculous.
Did they phone it in? Because we saw what they could do Tuesday. Like, they put on the best match of between Raw and SmackDown. They put on a hell of a show. So did they absolutely just phone it in when they were bumped down? They were just like, well, fuck this. We're going to get it paid, and then we're going to carry on our feud. That's the only thing.
There is no other explanation for that, because that match was horrendous. Like, to the point where I was like, wait a minute. I was actually really excited to see these two guys. It was bad. And then Tuesday, right back where I thought it would be. Like, they seriously were like, you know what, screw this. Was that their protest? I don't get it, because it was bad.
It was their protest because they looked interested and intense and everything Tuesday.
Yeah.
Not that way.
Sunday looked like remember the split interview last week on Talking Smack? That's what WrestleMania felt like to me with those two. They were like, yeah, let's be hams and jackasses and not care.
I considered Sunday to be dress rehearsal.
Yeah. It's an embarrassment, not just to those two guys, but to the title. That title deserves main event or the 10 o'clock slot, we'll call it, for WrestleMania. And it didn't get it. And those guys have every right to be angry. Now, should they have phoned it in? Probably not. And I'm going to call it. They did phone it in. There's no way they put on that bad of a match.
Oh, they absolutely phoned it in, and I don't blame them for it.
Well, I do for the fact that they shouldn't phone it in. I understand, but
why not, Russ?
Because
why not? What have they done with Dean? They said, Dean, you're the best guy in the Shield, but nope, you're going to be the last guy of the Shield to get a title. Oh, and you're going to have a really little, tiny, 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 tiny world title run. Like, Dean has gotten screwed over every single WrestleMania. You know who he's... Here's what he's done at WrestleMania. Him and the Shield boys, they took on Kane and the New Age Outlaws at WrestleMania 30. Yay. Then he was involved in a multi-man Intercontinental Championship match. Yay again. And then last year he got beaten in one of the worst matches of last year against Brock. And this year they fucked him again. Why should he care?
Well, they did fuck him, but like, so you're telling me it's okay to... Since you didn't get what you wanted, it's okay to half-ass it in your job.
Yes, I've been doing that my whole life.
That's true. I don't know. For me, it just felt like...
Kerry pursed her lips. She wanted to say something, Russ.
Go ahead, Kerry.
Well, I mean, you got to look at it from their perspective. I mean, you could tell when they came down the ramp, they were frustrated. I mean, the look on Corbin's face was like, I want to kill somebody right now. This is ridiculous. I worked my butt off, and
just,
I'm on
just
the
to be
free
fair,
show.
That's Baron Corbin every day.
Yes, but like if you look at his facial expression when he came down the ramp, even when Ambrose came down the ramp, he's just like, "Yeah, I'm here. Whatever. Okay, let's do this."
It did feel like they were afterthoughts to everybody at WrestleMania, so they said, "Screw it, let's be afterthoughts." And they did correct the ship on Tuesday because that match was crazy awesome. Like. That was everything.
I'll go so far as to say this. There was one other match at WrestleMania where all but one competitor had the exact same look on their face when walking down the ramp. The SmackDown Women's match. They all were like, yep, we're going to get a 5-minute match and our entrances are going to suck because we all have to come down within like 10 seconds of each other. And they all just kind of came down there like,
oh yeah, watching them enter was, I felt so bad because halfway down, the first person comes halfway down, and the other person's music starts, and then just progression. So they're still walking while the other person's still doing their thing. Yeah, SmackDown girls, they didn't look very happy.
How did Natty see? How did Natty see? Like,
no idea. It... Like,
By the way, WWE.com, for their pictures, they have a picture for all the girls' entrance except for Natalya. Why would you do five and not
the six?
It's such a shitty thing to do.
Now, okay, we'll come back to the match anyway. So, yeah, let's move on. All right, so let's move to the main card now. I think we've said our share about it, and we're right. All right, Shane versus AJ. Kerry.
Okay, that match was better than I thought it was going to be. It was actually really, really decent. Color me impressed. I was quite pleased.
What color is that?
Blue.
Blue is the color of pleasure?
I guess.
Kat, you're wearing blue. You're in. Pleasure zone. Nothing else.
I'm 100% pure pleasure for him.
That's true. Kat, what'd you think?
Match of the night.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week on the podcast. You and I said it had potential for match of the night.
Absolutely.
It was the match of the night.
Yeah, and Kat and I think you and I knew it. I'm surprised Steve didn't know it.
Shame on Steve!
Because you'd think he would know, he would grasp what's going on. But like, when you put AJ in a match, you're almost guaranteed to possibly have a match tonight. Now, was it the greatest match in the world? Absolutely not. That wouldn't even graze my top 20. I don't even know if it would graze my top 50. That's how it might dip into top 50. Dip. Like, tip. Just the tip.
Top 50 of what? All
matches,
time?
Yeah. I don't
oh,
have
Oh, God,
many,
no. That well, don't even crack like top 200.
I don't have as many.
Maybe
as you,
top 500? So. No. No. But here's the thing. AJ did the opposite of what Dean and Baron did, and he's like, fuck it, I'm just going to show how valuable I am.
Yeah.
And kudos to him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He did what you're supposed to do, and that's work your ass off. But he always does. I don't think AJ knows what it's like to put a bad match up. I almost want to see it. I want to see AJ in a bad match. And then I'll be pissed off because it's bad. But can he put on a bad match?
I've never seen it, and I watched him for years in TNA.
Yeah.
Never seen him in a bad match.
He knows how to deliver. And if WWE doesn't correct this somehow, like, he needs to be a champion for a year to two because he deserves it, and nobody else even comes close to him. He made Shane.
Yeah, fans are really big on having 1 to 2 year title runs. We really like that.
It's worth it if it's someone who's good.
New Day was good. We hated it by the end.
Well, by the end. That was also 2 years almost. What was it?
That was a year and a half.
Year
it was 18 months.
Okay, so, all right, fine, year. You're right. I'll give you that, a year. That's the longest I'll go. You're right, because after that fatigue sets in, you're like, get the fuck out of here.
And if we know one thing this week, we know about fatigue.
That's for sure. My God. I said this already to you guys, but I'll say it on the podcast. If it wasn't for Monday night, the Mania, or the Raw after Mania, usually being really good in the call-ups, I wouldn't have watched. I wouldn't have. I was so done with wrestling on Sunday.
You know it's a bad week when you watch more wrestling than porn. You know it's a bad week when you watch more wrestling than you video game. You know it's a bad week when you watch more wrestling than you do TV. You know it's a really bad week when you watch more wrestling than you watch porn, video games, and TV combined.
It was a lot of wrestling. Alright, so definitely the match of the night for me. Do you think AJ pulled it out of Shane, or was Shane really that good and we just happened to... He took mostly bumps.
Shane's kind of like Dean Ambrose, except when he's given a really good opponent. Something about Shane really shines. And he's willing. That's the cool thing about Shane. Yeah. One thing that can never... You can't say... Like, you can say this about Shane is he's willing to do goddamn anything to put on a show. It's kind of like a Mick Foley-ish quality. And you got to respect that no matter how much we don't look forward to a Shane McMahon match anymore. He somehow brings it. And, I mean, granted, with a different performer, it wouldn't have been as good. Even with Jericho, Jericho versus Shane would not have been that good. But something about AJ versus Shane, it just worked.
You're right. I think it was definitely a match of the night. I think I rated it that way too, but I don't remember.
Yeah, we both did.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next match. And I don't remember which one it was, so we'll hit one.
Jericho.
It was Jericho KO. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was Jericho KO or the girls. Jericho KO. Carrie.
It was a good match. Outcome, pretty predictable. It was good.
Yeah. It was a good match. It wasn't as good as AJ Shane. It delivered what we were looking for. Not quite the payoff, because you'd think Jericho would be the payoff for him, you know, getting crushed at the Festival of Friends. So obviously this feud had to continue. Very predictable, but they put on a hell of a match. I mean, it was really good, back and forth, some good moves. Really enjoyed it. Kent?
It was a better pure match than the AJ versus Shane, because it didn't have as many big spots. Steve actually said that was his match of the night. I don't even know. I had it ranked as like my third or fourth favorite match of the night, because it didn't do anything bad, but it didn't... For a match that was supposed to be as heated as it was, I think... I mean, it was one of the only matches that had a really good long-term story. It had a gimmick.
It was the only match that delivered on a long-term story. I think all the other long-term stories fell flat on their faces.
Believe that.
Yeah.
But with that being said, it was one of the only matches that had the long-term plan all along, and it delivered, but when you have that kind of a long-term story, that's the time when you have a gimmick match. That all they need was a last man standing, a no holds barred, a street fight, a clusterfuckeroo, I don't know, whatever you want, a Saskatchewan death match, something, and it would have upped the ante, and it could very well have stolen the show.
Could have. You're right. I think it was missing that little element to cherry on the top it. But we are getting them at Payback.
Not necessarily.
Well, you don't think so? You don't think they're going to do that?
I'm just saying, it's not a guarantee that Jericho's going to be around.
True. All right. Okay. Let's move on.
Women.
Women's match. The Raw women's match. Carrie, go ahead.
Decent match. Would I watch it again? Probably not. It was good that, you know, Bayley finally got a clean win and kind of legitimized herself and technically got that WrestleMania moment she should have gotten a while ago, but outside of that, it was okay.
How would she have gotten a WrestleMania moment anymore before this, because this is her first WrestleMania?
Well, I mean, basically they put the belt on her too
soon. I knew what you meant. All right, that's what I was looking for, yeah. They put it on her too soon, you're right. They should have put it on her here at Mania.
Exactly.
Kent, go ahead, and then I'll give my opinion.
I'll offer something that neither one of you probably thought about, and it's a scary truth. The best part of that match actually involved Nia Jax. Once Nia was gone, that match became really boring. It was actually fun seeing all the different ways that they could try to take out Nia. That was really the best part of that whole match. After that, it became more, oh, same old shit. If you take away Nia from that match, I don't know if I even give that match a 3. Nia actually added to that match, and I'm as shocked as anybody, but it really went downhill once she was eliminated. Plus, I liked the red in her attire.
I was going to say, I agree with you. After Nia, the match went downhill, but it seemed rushed after that point, too. So I don't know if it was...
Russ, give credit to Nia. She deserves it. She's a Samoan.
I don't know if it was Nia, but I did enjoy the first part of the match. They got rid of Sasha almost too quickly after that, too, didn't they? I mean, she went out like that, which made no sense because they were trying to push the story of her being a heel, and I know they're still kind of flirting with that a little bit, but I don't know. It just felt like she got out of there quickly. And Kent, you kept on saying, like, oh, she's gonna mess this up for Bayley. She's going to mess this up for Bayley. Nothing.
Yep, totally wrong. Yeah. Couldn't be more wrong if I tried.
I will say this. I wasn't looking forward to the match at all. It delivered on the fact that I actually semi-enjoyed it enough to say, okay, fine, I didn't hate it. And Less than two botches. That's it. And one of them we were...
Yeah, that was impressive.
That was impressive. We jokingly said, what's the over-under on three? And Ket easily took over.
Yeah. And then I got my other thing right, because they cut that match so short.
Yep. Oh, my God.
I what was my proclaim, Russ? That there wouldn't be another video package?
Oh, yeah. So, Ket at... I don't know. It was
at 8:10, right?
Yeah, it was at like 8:10 when the women came out. And Kent goes, well, we're not going to see a video package until 8:50. Now, so we're laughing because he thought the entrances were going to take forever. He didn't realize they were speeding them up almost the entire time. So they're just coming out fast. And Kent thought for sure that the match would go until about 8:45, 8:50. They started the match at what, 8:15?
It was bad.
And Kent thought for sure he was screwed. And he should have been, because that match ended about 8:30. So there was 20 more minutes before Kent had to get another video package. Now, he said clearly, video package. Because if he had said, the match won't end until 8:50, he'd have been completely and utterly wrong. But, we're going to talk about this match next. The next match was immediately afterwards. Who was it? I don't even know who it was anymore.
It was the tag team, Raw tag team match with no video package.
But they didn't put...
Plus, there was a commercial, too, don't forget.
Yes. So, immediately after the match, they put on commercial. Then they do the Hall of Fame review. Then they do the Hall of Fame. And now it's getting close to 8:50. And I'm like, oh my God, Kent's going to get this. Because he said video package. Nothing else. All he said is the next video package wouldn't start till at least 8:50. And he also said at least, so he can't even say as long as it was after 8:50. I thought for sure he was screwed. So here we go. It's now almost, it's like 8:40. And it's just getting over with the Hall of Fame. So I'm like, uh-oh, Kat, you're in trouble. Because the Mets match is coming no matter what. Then it went to a commercial again. And then I'm like, okay, now it's like 8:42, 8:43. And we're like, uh-oh, maybe he's going to do it. So now the next match starts. They don't do a video package for the Raw Tag Team titles. They just go straight into it. No video package. It's now past 8:50. He completely went. The only way he would have lost it, which was amazing, was if they stopped the match in the middle and put on a video package just to screw him. That would have been the only way.
It was, WrestleMania is the night when dreams come true, man. Dreams do come true. The sad part is that's how we got the most excitement from the night, is on a stupid-ass prediction that I poorly worded from the get-go, but yeah. Oh, God, no. No, but my bumbling ways sometimes work out, so.
I thought it was great. I mean, I wasn't, as I said last week, wasn't really interested in it, but my interest was piqued. And, well, Hardy Boys came back too.
Yeah, you know, I have a couple gripes. I mean, we knew I was going to have some gripes, right? First gripe, Matt didn't do jack shit the whole match, and he's the one that got the belt at the end. I really hate that. I like to see the winner of the match be somebody that actually busted their ass in the match and then worked their way up to the ladder. Matt really didn't do all that much. Jeff did the spot monkey and stuff. Secondly, and actually more worrisome than anything else, so New Day comes out and they're like, we got somebody new. And like everybody kind of knows it's going to be the Hardys. But what sense does that make? From a logical standpoint, you have the longest reigning WWE Tag Team Champions. And apparently they have the magic ability to add a team to this match. Don't involve yourselves. Just involve the Hardy Boys. What sense does that make? That should have been the best match of the night. But then the Hardys won. And I can't be saying that's the best match when the Hardys win. Well, and Russ talked to himself.
Yes, I am. It was fun. It was a good match. You're right. I thought it was weird that the New Day didn't put themselves in the match. I thought I was with you on that. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Why don't you, Heck, you could put the Hardy Boys in and yourselves. Who cares? Like, why didn't they go in? I'm kind of mad. Big E should always be in WrestleMania. You know, and you're right. They are the longest reigning tag team champions ever. They deserve some respect. Jeez. Match-wise, though, definitely a lot of fun. It wasn't the greatest ladder match, but it served. Like, you know, it hit the spots that you're looking for.
Sheamus and Gallows put on a hell of a good match for the two of the three biggest dudes just beating the shit out of people.
Yeah.
Sheamus took that awful Swanton, which he shouldn't have even got the brunt of it, but he got the worst end of that.
Well, I think he was supposed to get the worst of it, but I think they were both supposed to break. So
I agree. Jeff kind of just barely missed the mark, but in a way it's better because if he just falls in between the two, that could have been really bad.
Oh, yeah, it could have definitely. Especially if only one broke still. That would really hurt Jeff. That was.
Also, can we insult Big Cass for a moment?
Sure. I think we always have
He time. Completely botched trying to be Rhino. He completely botched trying to put Enzo on his shoulders and climb the ladder. It was so bad.
Yeah, I'll give him a pass on it, but you're right. That was pretty bad. I mean, it was...
No, stop giving Cass a pass. This is bullshit. We've been giving this guy a pass for too long. Yeah. He hasn't gotten himself in shape. He's a nice guy. And that's it. That's fine. But you know what? He's got to step it up if he wants to be somebody someday.
Yeah, if he wants to be a main eventer, he needs to work on his game. You're right. I don't know. Were you upset? Okay, obviously you didn't enjoy the Hardys winning the match. Or, well, you didn't care either way, I don't think. Do you think that they should have put that on them, or should they have kept it? What do you think? What should they have done?
I would have kept it on Gallows and Anderson because they have yet to win that one big match, and this would have been a way to give them that one. The Hardy Boys could have beat them on the next night on Raw, and the crowd would have been pumped for that.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah.
So I think that would have been a way to get Gallows and Anderson a little bit more over, because even though they got the Dudley Boys rub, they never went anywhere with it. The booking sucked, so this would have been a nice thank you for Gallows and Anderson.
Yep.
That's how I would have.
Yep. Carrie, what do you think? Were you okay with the Hardy Boys? Do you think it should have ended a different way?
I was fine with it.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't really vested in the outcome of the match to begin with, so it was nice to see.
I had the least amount of interest in that match, and by the end, that's the only match, I think, for WrestleMania I actually gained interest in. All the others went soaring down coming prior to it. But I don't know. I kind of felt like putting the belt on the Hardys was kind of BS. Okay, yeah, great. They're from the 90s or early 2000s. They don't need the belt. Gallows and Anderson need the belt. Big Cass and Enzo need the belt.
What the hell do Gallows and Anderson do now? They were just starting to get momentum.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of lost again. Just so we put the flabby hard label is up there. I mean, they're about as good shape as Enzo or Cass. I mean... Neither one are physical specimens in all reality.
True.
Enzo's in slightly better shape.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Where are they go now? You're right. Because you're going to have either two feuds going on for the tag team titles, which they can't handle.
Oh my god, two tag team feuds at the same time.
Which they can't handle, you're right. So
hell would freeze the fuck over in WWE land, okay?
It would, you're right. And they can't do that, so what are you going to do with Gallus and Anderson? Nothing. Cesaro needs to separate. It's over with. Get it over with. They can still be friends.
Why, though?
Because they're not going to do anything. Unless they win this match, payback, what are they going to do after this?
What are they going to do if they split them up, though? I can ask your same question, and both ways, they're kind of fucked. But I think at least if they're a tag team, they're going to be on most weeks. Where if they're singles wrestlers, they're not guaranteed a spot every week. I'd rather see them on my TV screen if WWE's hell-bent on not pushing them as singles competitors. If they would consider pushing them, especially Cesaro, but Sheamus deserves it just as much.
Oh, yeah.
If they would do it, then Sure.
I understand your point. You're right. Putting them together is probably the best thing for both of them. But I don't know. I just fear what's going to happen to them after they lose this payback.
Bo Dallas?
All right, let's move on to the next match on the card, which I believe is
Miz
and John Cena, right? All right, this one won't take too long. Carrie, what do you got?
Okay match, kind of ridiculous. Again, it should have been on the pre-show, but because it's John Cena, it wasn't going to be. And, well, Nikki Bella finally got what she wanted. She finally got that ring, guys.
That's true. All right, I'll go next because I know how Kent loved this match. So I'll say this. I thought what was happening with The Miz with the crowd was phenomenal. I loved it because Miz was playing it up really well. He did some great psychology, and that's where we're going to draw the line after that. Because I thought Miz and Cena did good, but then it got interrupted so many times by Maryse and Nikki, and that wasn't good. It was okay. But it was a point for me where it was just, it interrupted the flow, and it just never got going. And yeah, it was so cute, them double pinning the Miz and Maryse. Oh, so great.
Awesome. But you can't double pin. You can't
right.
double pin.
I know.
The legal person is the only person allowed to get the pin.
You're right. I know.
That referee should be fired and then shot in the face.
I thought it was cute.
With a squirt gun. I don't condone violence.
Right, exactly. I knew what you meant. I don't know. Good thing you mentioned it for the viewers. I knew you meant squirt gun. But I thought it was cute because it was real. I'm assuming John Cena. Now, Kat, I know you have another take, but I'm assuming John Cena does want to marry Nikki. And I thought it was cute. He did use her real name, so, you know, he asked the real person to marry him, not Nikki. And now, Kat, just think of it this way. We have the chance of Kane coming out of the mat and grabbing Nikki and pulling her down and making his bride. Come on. The dream could happen now.
That's the only way that any of this is worthwhile is if Kane does what Kane does. I have three things I want to say. One, when I did the WrestleMania review, there's only one match that I end up saying, you know what, screw it. They're only getting one picture. Every other match had a minimum of six pictures. This one got it. And you know what? I didn't even show a damn picture of the goddamn match because I don't give a fuck. That was one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history. And I have seen all of them multiple times, so I can tell you that is one of the worst matches. I will also tell you how you could have fixed that very easily. You would have said, hey, Mr. Paul Heyman, how would you have booked this? And he would have said, why, my dear boy, here's what you do. You have Cena versus Miz in a one-on-one match, and then mid-match, Maryse gets involved, Nikki comes over, catfight. They end up rolling around in the outside, then they roll in the ring. The guys stop, everybody's watching, chanting catfight. Then they get broken up, and they don't ever have to be tagged in. It doesn't ruin the flow because it's not part of the match, but the crowd would have been so much more into the women's spots had they just done the catfight. And that's all they needed to do because it's not like Maryse can really wrestle. That's how you make that match better. My last thing is this. It's a reality show angle. It is a reality show fucking angle. I don't care. I swear, there is nothing on this earth that can prove or make me believe that this is real love, that Cena really wants to get married. Nothing.
So when he gets
married,
there's
nothing.
What's your...
He could drag his sack across my face until I tapped out and I would just eventually starve to death. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm not believing it. I'm not buying it. It's not love. It was garbage. That shit does not belong on WrestleMania. So thank you, everybody, for that. Really pisses me off.
All right, so it ticks Kent off. Let's move on from that match. The next match after that was Seth Rollins and Triple H. Kerry, go.
It was a good match. I liked Triple H's entrance. That was pretty badass with the motorcade and the, you know, bike with Stephanie on the back of it. That was good. All in all, good match. But really, this is really the point of the evening where I started drifting in and out of consciousness.
Yeah, I agree. This was the moment, that match, because for me, you know, I'm a big fan of Triple H, or Seth Rollins, and Triple H, but it was at that point where that was about the 4-hour mark, wasn't it, Kent? No, it was a little bit before the 4-hour mark. It was like three and a half.
It was about, that match started probably right around 9:30, 9:40. Wait, no, 10.
Yeah, it was almost 10, yeah, because after that we had still one more match, and then I tapped out, so...
Yeah. So it was, that match started at 10.
Yeah, because it went to
almost
10:30.
Which, come to find out, was like the midpoint of the fucking evening.
Yes. At that point, I was done. It was just... I couldn't stay awake for it. Or I could, but it was just... I didn't care. Like, Kent and I had our laughs. We really didn't have much else to go on. And we watched the match. And the crowd was out of it, too. Like, the crowd just... They would pop every once in a while. But for the most part, they were done. They didn't care. And I didn't care either at the time. I was shocked. It was good. I enjoyed it. Seth did a few more things that I would have thought he should have done. Really shocked that there was absolutely no interference. Like, super shocked. It's a non-sanctioned match. Oh, yeah, that was the funny thing that we kept on hearing. How many times did they tell us it was non-sanctioned? This is a non-sanctioned match. This is a non-sanctioned match. Yeah, no kidding.
I think it was a history-making non-sanctioned match because it was from the Raw brand, and I don't know if we've ever had a non-sanctioned match at WrestleMania, so history was in the making.
Yes, it was definitely historical. Yeah, I liked the spots. I thought the spots were good. Shocked that Joe didn't come out. So, Kent, do you want to mention it here now, or do you want to wait?
No, why don't you just steal all my thunder?
Okay.
No, go ahead. I'll wait.
All right. Just at this point, it was just too much wrestling. Kent, go ahead.
The match wasn't good. The match wasn't entertaining. The spots were all Seth related, and Stephanie got wood, and that was great. I was so happy to see that Stephanie finally got some wood in, but and she took it like a fucking champ too.
She did. She dropped right on it. Yeah.
she dropped it low. And kudos to her. It was good to see Triple H's sledgehammer once again. Always a sight to see.
Bigger than you expect.
It's bigger in person, and it's nice. I mean, really, we've never seen Stephanie get wood at the same time we've seen Triple H's sledgehammer.
That's
it's
true.
Like they've been in two different places.
All the time.
Every time.
That's right.
And it's really weird.
Steph doesn't get
and
wood
Seth
too
came
often.
Out like a golden shower, really, which...
wearing gold.
That's my point. And then he lit the stage on fire in one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
That was so dumb. At least they could have done real fire, right? Come on.
It was really dumb as hell. Yeah. I'm sorry. The match was boring. Like, yeah, there was a couple of good spots. But in a match that's going to be that long, if you want that match to be good, you need to up the game on spots.
Yeah.
And most importantly, why the fuck wasn't Samoa Joe involved at WrestleMania? Like, really, they could not have made the Sami Zayn and Seth versus Samoa Joe and Triple H, and you realize how good that match would have been?
Oh, it would have been top.
Because then we could have seen the Samoan sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And it would have been a tag team
while
Stephanie was getting wood.
Yes. I'm all there.
Wait, maybe Xavier Woods could have been involved, too.
No, Paige wasn't there.
Oh, yeah. You're right. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, they easily could have made this a tag match, and it would have worked. And then you could have had, at Payback, had Seth versus Triple H.
Sammy needed a job in the ATG MBR. Needed to.
Yes, he did. Because now... He's legitimate now because after Stephanie berated him like a little bitch and him completely losing like a little bitch, she's kind of validated.
Is there any way Sami Zayn could make like an all-ginger faction? Like, bring back Christy Hemme, get Heath Slater involved. Sheamus is already around.
That's true.
I mean, it wouldn't take all that much. Becky Lynch is around.
Yep. Oh my God, Soulless. That's the name.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. Make it a fucking faction. Make this shit happen, Vince. We need more gingers in our life.
It's true. All right, let's move to the next match. And the match that proved my ending, my done. Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. Carrie, why don't you tell us about this turd biscuit?
I wish I could say I saw it, but this is, as I said, where I
No, you don't.
You do not, no.
Okay, good. I'm glad I fell asleep and missed it.
It was.
Well, I mean, you watched probably about as much as Russ did, because we kept looking over, and Russ was, and then, like, he'd kind of open up his eyes for, like, a couple seconds. I had no idea that we were staring at him, and then would drift back to sleep like Elias Samson, okay? So, it was not a... I think Russ really hit it after the second LED light performance of Worms, Maggots, Cockroach, I don't
so
fucking know.
Stupid. Oh my God. The snake following Randy down, that was also so stupid.
I mean, I can't even make a lewd comment about it because I just don't care about how bad... Like, if Cena didn't happen, if that Cena match doesn't happen, this is probably the second worst match of the night.
Mm.
And this was the match you and me all really, really, really were dying to see yep. 4 weeks ago.
That's the worst part. This was the match that we were waiting for. And it fell... faster than Xavier Woods' odd page.
Right. It dragged its sack across our proverbial face.
It so did. And I just... It all is pinpointed to Luke. When Luke left the feud, this feud went to garbage. And I think you can ask anybody. And it's a shame, too, because it had the potential to be one of the best feuds that WWE's done in a long time. And now I'm just like, I'm glad it's done. It's not even done. That's the worst part. It's not even done.
No, you know what's even worse? Now, Randy with the belt is the laziest version of Randy.
Yes.
Randy's actually pretty good without the belt, but you could tell he was going to get the belt because he was wrestling so fucking lazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really lazy match by Orton. I don't think Bray really gave a fuck because he's like, well, Luke's not out here, so fuck it. Like... It's so bad. Oh. Can we just move on?
Yeah, let's move on, because that was bad. All right, so the next match was the women's match? Who?
Barack.
Oh, God. All right, I did watch this match. All right, next match was the Universal Championship. I'm sorry, the Red Brand, Raw Championship. We don't call it Universal. Brock versus Goldberg. Carrie, did you watch it?
No. This is another one where I slept right straight through it. I actually woke up at one point and said, so who won? Oh, Eric's like, Brock won. I'm like, okay.
All right. You want to give your 2 cents, Kent, then I'll give mine.
I liked the match. I know that's a little surprising, but it's one of my, probably my fifth or sixth favorite match of the night. It delivered what it was supposed to. It didn't waste our time.
There's the big thing right there.
So, you know, kudos for them for knowing their limits. Brock got in his 10 suplexes. Goldberg hit a couple spears. That vicious spear through the on the outside that, through the barricade.
That was pretty awesome.
That was really well done. Yep. I think a lot of people are sleeping... Wait, that's a really weird term since Kerry was sleeping, but a lot of people are technically sleeping on this match as being a better than average Mania match. It was surprisingly good, and even the celebration was long. Like, there was nothing long about it. They just went in, did their job, and left, and I was completely cool with that match, surprisingly.
I would have been upset if it was a less than 2 minute match, I think, because then it
was. Right, it was the right time, right?
Thing. Yeah. This was about 8 minutes. I'd say the whole thing was 8 minutes. And that it was perfectly timed. I said this in the blog for the review. I thought better than I gave it credit for. Like, it was better than I thought it was going to be. They did what they do best, and they did what they could only do. Like, Goldberg can't do anything else other than spear a jackhammer and maybe do a couple of take a couple of hits. That's it. And he did it great. Brock, say, I don't know what's going on with Brock. Brock can produce, but he likes to also...
Brock is also turning purple now.
Yes.
He needs to... like, something needs to change because that motherfucker went from red to purple in the last 2 minutes of that match. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I think my heart's bad, but that motherfucker's got to have... Something's wrong with that dude. Like, they need to be checking that motherfucker out because he is not right.
I do want to say this real quick, too. Well, do we agree that Brock is going to be... He's going to have this belt for probably a year? What do you think? Over or under on a year?
I'm going to say SummerSlam. Although the rumor is Mania. And then he's going to drop it to Roman.
That's what I've heard. But and anything can change between now and then. You're right. I'm hoping SummerSlam. But we'll see. Kent?
I'm definitely taking the under. There's no way they're going... Okay. There's no way they should go ahead with this.
You're right.
Plan. I could see him losing it for a variety of reasons. Drug failure, for instance. Because the motherfucker was purple. And then winning it back, you know, sometimes around Survivor Series or something. And then going against Roman at Mania. There's just no reason... What a waste of a belt, otherwise.
Well, yeah.
Unless he wants to work the schedule.
He's not working... He's not scheduled for Payback. So that's a whole month right there. I love how there's that 30-day rule where they have to defend the title. And when he...
But he's such a draw!
Yeah, when he gets it, we'll ignore that. What bullshit is that? So...
And Naomi says hello.
Yeah, exactly. And she wasn't even gone for 30 days. She could have held it. All right, let's speak into Naomi. Let's move on to the women's match. Carrie?
This is actually where I regain consciousness.
Okay.
Briefly.
Well,
and
it was a brief match.
Yeah, I saw most of it. I drifted out of consciousness towards the end and woke up to hear Naomi's music and realize she won.
So you basically woke up for about 30 seconds and fell back to sleep and woke up for back to 30 seconds.
Pretty much.
Because that's all that happened. Kat?
Well, I learned that Mickey James is apparently part Native American. So that's cool. I learned that Becky came up with one of the worst ideas for appearance for WrestleMania of all time. So kudos to her. I realized that I'm going to go so far as to say that Carmella is going to be the female to watch for this year as far as ascending to the top. And finally, I want to say how great the spot was when Alexa and Carmella had like that shoving match and then like Bliss grabbed her by the throat and, like, threw her down. I was like, holy shit, that was cool. It really made her look like a badass. So, I had no problem for the time allotted. I just really got pissed off at the entrances because everybody was so rushed and cut short. That did bother me. I wasn't necessarily feeling the glow by the end of that.
It was so short, I barely remember any parts of it, really. I'll be honest. I remember them coming down really quickly. I watched a few minutes of it, and pretty much that was it. And I didn't care. I honestly didn't care. I'm glad Naomi won.
I have a question.
Sure.
Should Natalya have tried that two-person sharpshooter? Yay or nay?
No, because it looked awful anyway. It looked stupid. I mean, it looked really bad. You can't do a two-person.
Carrie? Yay? Nay?
Well, I didn't see it, so I can't judge for appearance-wise, but just hearing you describe it, that just sounds like a bad idea.
Terrible. Like Becky Lynch's outfit.
Hey, Rhino helped her with that hair. There's a video out there of it.
Listen, it was the hair that I took umbrage with. that stupid white line, like, is she trying to be Paige here? Was that a little hey, Paige? I got a little white on my face, too.
I think she wanted a little Xavier Woods afterwards. I think that's where she was trying to be like Paige.
Oh, boy.
That was her, hey, Xavier. I'm free, too. All right. So, final match of the evening. We're still on WrestleMania. Oh, my God. All right.
This was supposed to take 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to have to fly through the others.
That's okay.
All right, yeah. All right, last match of the evening. Taker versus Roman Reigns. We'll get Kent on this one last because I know what Kent's got the big stuff. So, Carrie and I will go quickly. Carrie.
It was a good match. Decent. I mean, based on what I read in recaps, it seemed like almost like Taker couldn't go, and Roman kind of carried him and kind of looked at him like, yeah, I hate to do this to you, but I have to. But I think the part that brought tears to my eyes and the one that I YouTubed the next morning was after the match was over and watching him drop his gloves, his hat, and the jacket in the ring.
Sounds like you're getting a little teared up right now, a little emotional.
Yeah.
All right. So everything you pretty much said is pretty close to being spot on. Taker's entrance was amazing. It was great. But the match itself, other than they had those, if it didn't have its spots, this would have been the worst match on the whole thing. And it's nobody's fault. Taker couldn't go. Roman did everything. And that's what I don't like about the fans sometimes. Like, yes, okay, we'll talk about Raw in a little bit. But it's not Roman's fault. Roman did everything he could to make Taker look like $1 million. He did. He seriously tried. Taker couldn't go. And I just felt bad. It really felt like an old Yeller moment at the end. Roman just, he looked really upset that he was doing it. He did not look like he wanted to be the one to do this. And he knew it. And he looked at Taker and just did the double spear thing, or the running spear thing, and hit him. And I felt bad. It felt like an old Yeller. Like, we just sent the old dog to get shot in the back. That's what it felt like. I did love the ending. Thought that was great. So, the fact that it's Taker and everything, it wasn't the worst match on the night. But Kent, go ahead.
Well, when Steve and I talked about, we were trying to come up with analogies. His analogy was like putting down a family pet. Mine was, you know, kind of like somebody dealing with cancer, knowing that they only have, you know, so much time left, and them finally going down. You don't like seeing either one, and you know it's going bad. But it had to end. As a person that's, I started watching the first year that Taker wrestled at WrestleMania. And that's how long I've been a fan. So, like, that's who I've known. That's who I've considered the all-time greatest. You know, to echo your sentiments, obviously Taker couldn't go the way that he wanted to. Roman didn't look like a guy that wanted to be in that position.
No.
And, you know, for years we've all thought, wow, whoever gets that holy grail of retiring Taker is going to be such a big momentous occasion. But when it was on our doorstep, it was not. It wasn't career suicide or anything, but it was not the moment that I think we all envisioned. It was much more heartbreaking than that. And
yeah, it felt sad. Like, it didn't feel like
it was a fucking sad moment.
Like, it wasn't like when Flair got retired by Shawn Michaels.
That was bad too.
It was bad, but it wasn't that bad. Like, that one felt,
because Flair wasn't WWE.
True.
Taker
is WWE. You're right. It just, oh, I plus, felt bad for this one. This one made me feel bad.
I think Flair would have felt the same had we both been, you know, if we were 10 years older and watched Flair during NWA and stuff, but we didn't grow up on that. We knew mid-age Flair and older. We didn't see Flair during some of his heyday. We saw Taker through everything.
True.
Actually, I think the match was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible.
And I think what's good, what I would say positive about it is that once you started watching it, you didn't really want to take your eyes off it because you never knew when the moment was. And I'll be the first to admit, there was a couple times where I was like, maybe Taker's really going to pull out the victory and fool everybody. Like, yeah, I was a little child once again cheering on my guy and thinking he's going to kick out. And he really almost didn't kick out that one time. The ref had to hold back a little bit on that one.
Yeah, right. Closer to the end, right? Where Taker just...
It was like the second or third to last pin.
One, two... No, yeah. He just got up. It was like, wow. And Roman... Like I said, I feel bad for Roman. And all of this, I feel bad for Roman. Because I've never hated Roman. And the fans... are never going to forgive him. And didn't we talk about this too in the preview? The fans will not forgive Roman if he wins cleanly. Now, using the chair at the end, I thought that was kind of their savior to kind of give him he had to use a chair to beat Taker. But that didn't play. It just the ending was
It was him doing the super spear, and what a great touch by Taker to turn around when Roman was running the ropes, looking almost like a confused old man that needed to be put down. That was such a small touch, but it added to the moment incredibly. And as mentally drained and fatigued as I was like, wow, I don't want to cry during wrestling, and I was close.
Are you glad I left?
I stopped myself.
Are you glad I left?
I was just like, oh, man, and I still got Walking Dead left. I know they're killing some motherfuckers there. Like, it was an emotionally draining night for me.
Yeah,
so
I watched that night because I got home and it just started because I wanted to just see where it was. So that match had just started when I got home, so I watched that live. Plus, I thought about it. I was like, if I don't watch this live, I'm going to shoot I'll be really upset about it.
It's not going to mean the same.
Exactly. So, and I did watch it, and I don't think I was that close to crying. But it was really upsetting. It was like, wow, I can't. And that's the worst part. We've always looked forward to seeing Taker. And this is the first year I can honestly say, it's like, nope. This was bad.
Yeah, and props to, I don't know, as cheesy as it is, like, I really liked seeing him kiss Michelle. Like,
yep.
It was nice for that one moment to see Taker break kayfabe for once in his career.
He never does.
Like, that more so sealed the deal than him dropping the gloves, in my opinion, because you've never, ever seen Taker break freaking kayfabe, ever. Like, he's the guy that's been the most guarded, protected wrestler possibly in the history of the business. Never allowed to really do anything for when a wrestler dies as far as, like, a memorial thing. The closest he ever came was raising the urn for Paul Bearer. He's had to keep this going for so many years. I'm happy that he can finally rest in peace.
True. All right, this should be the easiest question in the world. Since we're assuming he's retired. Now, he might not be. He didn't say. Next year's Hall of Fame, who's headlining it?
Damn well better be Taker.
If he's not first ballot, I would be shocked.
All right. I want to throw in, I don't want it to be next year.
You don't want it to be next year?
No. You know why? Because it's in New Orleans, the site where it all died. And give it another year someplace else, but don't do it in New Orleans. Because
right. I don't know. If I understand where you're coming from with that, but it also, he should be first ballot. I mean, he should be, as soon as he retires. Okay, Hall of Fame, there you go, you're done.
But also, will he ever accept the Hall of Fame?
I don't see why not.
Vince won't. Vince will die before he's in the Hall of Fame, and I'm really wondering if Taker's going to be like that. I don't. Even now that he's retired, will we see Taker show up at Hall of Fame events as a normal dude anymore? Like, is he going to stay secluded? How's that going to work?
Don't know.
We don't know, because we've never had to ask that question, so it's going to be interesting.
Yes.
If Taker doesn't go in, if Big Show's really retired, Big Show deserves a nod. Big Show really deserved something better going out if that was his last
round, too. I hope that's not his last, because he's worked so hard to get himself buff, and then that's how they end it for him. Come on, give him a one-on-one match with somebody like Roman. Hell, give him Roman again. Let Roman be like the retirement killer.
Yeah, so what's the big prize now? Is the big prize going to be Triple H or Cena? Because you know Triple H is going to make it larger than it really should be. So what's going to hold more meaning down the road? Or the guy who retires, Brock Lesnar. That's a third guy. I mean, Randy Orton should be in the discussion, but he's really not.
He's still young.
Right. So is it going to be Triple H, Cena, or Brock? As what's going to be the biggest one? You'd think Cena, but
I don't know.
They could make a big deal of all of those are a big deal.
Well, here's the thing. Triple H, I don't think he's going to be gone anytime soon. He's got the Vince McMahon treatment right now, which Vince McMahon's not that he's going to wrestle ever again. But he wrestled 50s, 60s. And Triple H has got a long ways before that.
I mean, Triple H may never go Hall of Fame either. That's another possibility, by the way.
Yeah, but that's him.
For the same reason.
Yeah, that's just him. I don't think any of the McMahons will go in before they're dead.
I don't think so either.
Because I don't think, you know, they know what it's about. Triple H might. Triple H might be the only one. Because he deserves it. So does Taker.
So does Stephanie.
Oh, yeah, Stephanie absolutely
Stephanie's
does,
been great.
I don't think she cares.
No, I think, you know, as much as we hate, you know, what the McMahons do sometimes, like, they do genuinely come across as really nice people backstage,
oh, yeah,
by and large.
Oh, yeah. They're human, like, beings. They're rich.
Especially Stephanie. Stephanie comes off as actually, like, one of the most legitimately nice people.
Yeah. Well,
so that's so weird.
It is. Like, the funny part is, well, she plays a great heel, but she is super nice from what I hear. Like, there's not a bad word ever about her in the backstage.
I'm going to make a suggestion. We should probably get to your man crush of the week and then quickly talk about the new debuts, re-debuts, get some investigative reporting really quickly. And
I agree.
Get this. We got to kind of move forward quicker.
We've been going a little slow. All right, let's do it. Go ahead, Kent. Ask me again. Because I like it.
Oh, golly gee. Russ, I've been dying to know. Who's your man crush of the week?
I'm glad you asked, Kent. Well, my man crush of the week is probably where you got to go back to the late 90s, early 2000s, when I first
Test?
Met this guy. No, not Test. He's an Olympic gold medalist, though. His name is Kurt Angle, and we finally, this week, inducted into Hall of Fame. And not only that, on Monday Night Raw, is mentioned as the new general manager. Kurt Angle. My original
Russ?
Hero. I am
Russ?
So... What?
He was already Man Crush of the Week like a month and a half ago or some shit. You can't... No. No. I warned you. I said, if you don't take it, I'm going to fucking do something about it. And I did. I did make him Man Crush of the Week. You can't fucking reuse Man Crush of the Week.
Cat.
What?
It's a new year. We go by
yes,
the WrestleMania
is.
Calendar, and once it's a new year, the man crushes can start all over. So, yes, I can man
God
crush on everyone again until next WrestleMania. So, Kurt Angle gets my first man crush of the year post-WrestleMania. Congratulations.
The first week you miss it, I'm taking Seth Rollins, just letting you know.
Oh, no. I hope he does something big next week so I can give it right back to him. Oh, man. All right, speaking of that, let's talk about Raw. The first segment we're going to talk about at the end. All right, so let's skip that for now. Let's talk about the debuts, everything. Carrie, what do you got for us?
Well, I think we all know what I want to talk about. The return of my boy, Finn Balor. I'm so happy he's back. All right.
That main event, by the way, it was just kind of like you two versus me, because like my team was fat guys versus your two weirdos. But Kerry, defend your boy. Why is your boy teaming with Russell's boy, the guy who actually injured him? What
and
sense does that
about
make?
It the next day after,
like, what sense?
I think when they were in rehab together, they became friends and forgave each other for, you know, what happened. And I mean, they had a poster of Triple H in the background. So, you know, Papa H was watching over them as they cemented their friendship.
I was gonna say, you do realize they're like really good friends, right? You're joking.
Carrie is like beaming right now. She's way more happier right now in this moment than she was like at her wedding or anything. Like, just completely beaming. Talk about Finn Balor.
Well, she was really drunk at her wedding. Let's face it. I mean, she had to marry Eric.
Yeah.
No, I was jet lagged at my wedding reception. There's a difference.
So, did that main event for go like in 2 seconds? Did they think they had to rush that at the end because they screwed something up? That was just like a 5 second match.
It was really no. It lasted for about 12 minutes.
Did it really? Oh, it felt so quick.
There was a commercial break and everything.
Oh, that's probably what happened. The commercial break. Oh my god, yeah. So many commercial breaks on Monday night during matches. It was so bad. All right. So Kerry said that. I'm not stealing your thunder, Kent. I'll go with who was the other one that came back?
Well, both of them are kind of my thunder. If you want to go to SmackDown, be my guest, but okay. I got dibs on my girl and my boys.
I know who you got. That's why I didn't want to kind of steal it. All right, so I'll go to SmackDown, and I'm going to say my big thing, call-up was Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, really weird. I thought
really not Ty Dillinger? Really?
The perfect 10... Well, I'm glad he's there. He's going to be a great mid-carder. Man, I'm psyched as long as they keep him afloat because he's a great mid-carder.
Apollo Crews is licking his chomps right now being like, I can actually beat this guy.
Yeah. But he's that great mid-card guy that you know. I don't think I could ever see him winning the championship. Maybe one day, but he's a great mid-carder. Perfect for the Intercontinental Championship. Now, Shinsuke Nakamura... Loved how he came back, especially against The Miz. So I'm assuming he's starting something with The Miz.
Wait. What sense did it make? He didn't interact with The Miz.
I know. That's what I was asking. That's what I was going to say. Wasn't it weird that he came out during The Miz's thing, no interaction at all, just ended it? Now, granted, the crowd was insane at that point. They were going nuts. So
wouldn't that have been a perfect time for Miz to get a little heat?
Yep. Nothing happened. Wasn't that weird? That's what I was saying. That was the weirdest thing. I thought for sure I missed something. I thought for sure I maybe fast-forwarded, or I was behind. So I thought maybe it skipped or something. Because I was like, wait, did they just go to commercial and then end it right then and there? What the hell happened?
I was so baffled because like his music stopped. I'm like, all right, now Miz is going to do something. Nope. That's the segment. Okay. That got nobody over. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. Like, it made no sense. Just have Miz be like, I don't like Orientals. Bam. We got a feud. Well, something.
I don't think they needed to. Yet. There's a
couldn't they have
time.
Had a stare down or something at the very least?
Something. I guess they could have. They don't need it yet. But yeah, it was so weird. I want to see what happens next, though. So kudos to WWE. They did something right. I do want to see what happens next. So see if Miz retaliates. But you're right. That was the weirdest thing. All right, Kent. Give us your favorite newcomers and oldcomers.
Well, speaking of newcomers, much like them, these guys go hard.
Damn
right. All day, all night. And yes, I immediately, like during the commercial, I put that song on and I was jamming out and I was so excited. And even though it's not quite on SmackDown, there's going to be some shakeup going on. So I have faith that the Revival is going to get over and I think the Hardy Boys are going to put them over. That would be huge for them. And that's the team that needs that rub right now. They don't need it right now. They need it. Maybe SummerSlam.
I was
going
to say,
don't rush it.
3 to 4 months down the road, they'll be ready for it.
They need to establish them first. Yes. They need to establish the Revival. And God damn, I was just so pumped. I think I did a fist pump when I heard their music come out.
I was going to say, when I heard their music come out, I really wanted to text you, but I didn't know. Because, you know, I always know how you watch it later. So
I watched it live. All right.
I was so tempted, like, oh my God. And then I was going to say, how pissed are they on Raw?
You know, in that moment, I didn't care. I was just so happy to see them get called up that it didn't matter. Like, I was just in pure bliss. And then later on, I got to see the greatest active women's wrestler come out, do her thing, like completely dominate the match in Emma, and then was like, no, I don't even really want to deal with Nia Jax's fat ass, and she just walked away. She did the smartest thing that any of those dumb bitches did, and once again, I was jamming out to Emma's music, because that's what I do, and I don't know.
The only fail there with that was having them lose.
That's okay, because she didn't take the loss.
She didn't take the loss, you're right. I'm assuming
and she looked awesome doing what she did, though.
Yes, Emma did look good. I was impressed with what Emma was doing. Think Charlotte's going to SmackDown?
Well, therein lies the question, because they got to break up that awful trio conglomerate of fuckery.
Yes.
But I was wondering, would Emma be better off going to SmackDown or staying on Raw, where Raw apparently keeps getting all the time? Or does the time transfer, if Charlotte gets moved to SmackDown, does SmackDown become historic? Where does the history lie?
That's a good question. I think it's going to have to lie.
Carrie, you're a female. You know stuff about history. Tell us more. Who gets history?
That's very professional, Carrie. Very professional.
I am so
your
sorry.
Third arm.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, finally we have a Raw women's division that has balance, which is something we haven't had. But really, I think with Emma, maybe leave her on Raw and move one of the other three over.
Oh, I definitely think Charlotte's going, especially after that whole whatever the hell that was at the end.
I think you gotta move
to
who?
Alexa.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think you can keep Bliss and Charlotte on the same roster. I think that'd be a mistake. But then I was also thinking maybe Mickey James would be good on Raw. I'd like to see her. I don't know, because, I mean, Sasha needs, like, there's so much things going on. Sasha needs a heel turn eventually. And by eventually, I mean, like, next week. She needs something.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, something for the old hairline.
I'm interested in the shakeup. So now, again, wrestling's got me for another week. But at least we don't have to watch anything this weekend.
So. On the plus side, we forgot somebody.
Oh, yes.
Eric Rowan. And he's immediately back to jobbing. Good job on coming back and immediately jobbing.
Yep.
I liked his mask, though.
That was interesting. Yeah, I liked...
Luke got so much pop last night.
Luke is over so... He's Daniel Bryan next. The guy
send us proclamations. Yo, wait, I gotta stop here for a moment. Carrie, this seriously happened Sunday. Russ, like, I heard a rapper, I've heard three of his songs, and he's just as good as Eminem.
I said almost.
Now keep in mind, that. Eminem's been around for like 20 years, and I'm a huge fan. I kind of know a lot of his stuff. And Russ, like, I've heard three songs, and he's just as good
almost
as Eminem. This
as
seriously
good.
Happened.
When I say almost as good, now I'm not saying. Hear me out. When I say almost as good, I mean he's not as established as Eminem, but his style is almost as good as Eminem's. Like, he is right there. He has the same style. He does really good at the quick wit, and he's really good. And I want Kent to listen to him, because I think he'd like him.
And what's his name, Russ?
Hopson.
So everybody can give a listen.
I was just going about to ask that.
It's Hopson. H-O-P-S-I-N.
Can you spell that?
S-I-N.
S-I-N. H-O-P-S-I-N. So, ladies and gentlemen, please feel free to listen to the next Eminem, who we've heard three songs of.
Oh, he's got a lot more than that. I've only heard three songs.
This seriously happens, like, ladies and gentlemen. This seriously fucking happens. Like, this is the shit that comes out of Russell's mouth when we're fucking hanging out. So, I just wanted to throw that out there. Oh, wait, let's throw out another Russellism, because this one was even better. Pitbull's out during doing the performance.
Oh, come on.
And Lunch Money Lewis comes out and Russell's like, what happened to Flo Rida?
Now, hold on. To be fair,
so
I don't know
Russ
what the hell
thinks
these
that
look like.
Well, Russ, just because you see a black guy doesn't necessarily mean he's Flo Rida. I mean, it's a good guess, but
I was also led down that path because of Ray Leed, who said, look at Flo Rida. So who am I supposed to expect? I didn't know.
I can't believe you took the bait, though. It was so...
I had no other reason. Great. It's not like I know who Flo Rida is. Come on. It wasn't...
Heath Slater knows who Flo Rida is.
Well, yeah, but he's also got kids.
I was wondering, if Heath Slater makes the Hall of Fame, will he thank all of his kids? Like, that needs to happen, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think he's ever making the Hall of Fame, but absolutely.
All right. We should probably move on to Carrie... Next, maybe?
Yeah, I think we're there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carrie, what's your investigative reporting got for us this week?
All right, so we've had some debuts and returns this week. Well, kids, we got to say goodbye to a couple people. On the WWE side, Simon Gotch got released today. He was future endeavored, kind of a mutual thing between the company and him as well. I don't know what this means for Aiden English, but it has to be something good. On the other
side, isn't that good for Aiden English?
Yeah, I was going to say it's got to be something good.
Dropping that monkey.
I think Aiden English is going to Raw, by the way, and I think he's going to get a push.
I think so too. All right, go on, Carrie. Sorry.
And then on the TNA side, Damian Sandow, Aaron Rex, weird looking Liberace character. Was also retired or left TNA. That was also announced today on various news wrestling sites. So, bye-bye Sandow, too.
But we get Drew McIntyre back.
Yes, yes.
And before we get a bunch of hate mail flooding our inboxes, I'll correct for Carrie. It's no longer TNA. It's officially Impact Wrestling. TNA no longer exists.
That's true.
Unless you're watching a Page video.
Yes.
Okay.
TNA is dead.
Well, it'll always be TNA to me.
I agree. Like, I think it was one of the dumbest things they could possibly have done. It's like, well, we have this brand that's been around for a decade.
Let's
change it.
Yeah, let's make sure nobody knows what we are.
By the way, fuck you, Hardys. You're making us money, but fuck you. Fuck you, Aaron Rex. Fuck you, McIntyre. What's the dude with the chick? Just fuck everybody. It's amazing.
All right. So, let's move on to our final segment of the evening before our last part of our game. The namesake segment, Were You Not Entertained? This is the segment where we go through real quick and say, were we entertained or not by a certain segment that can be kind of controversial. Maybe you liked it, maybe you didn't. And this one, I think, is a definite mixed bag here because I'm not sure how we're going to respond to it. So, Were You Not Entertained by the opening segment of Raw? If everybody knows what happened, it was literally 15 minutes of the fans. Carrie?
I was entertained to start. First things first, man, that crowd was wild. But with that being said, jeez, Roman got some serious heat out of this whole thing. He wasn't a heel before. He's a heel now, kids.
Yeah, I don't think his character is going to survive this as a heel face. You got to go heel. It's the only way I can see it happening, him getting through this. Kat, do you want to go next and then I'll finish up? Or
no, go ahead.
Okay.
Finish yourself off.
All right. Oh, thank you. So, I just don't think he's going to survive it. Now, the announcers tried saving it. Oh, it's the night after WrestleMania. That crowd's always crazy. They boo the people we love. And I'm just thinking, no, he's getting booed for the rest of his career because no hardcore fan is going to forgive him the way he beat out, took out Taker. His fault or not, it's not, clearly, and I feel bad for him. But in the beginning, I was entertained. Overall, I was not entertained. I was annoyed by the end of the 15 minutes, and frankly, it was stupid. But the first few moments, I loved it because it was all thank you, Taker. It was great. Just the first 3 or 4 minutes, just thank you, Taker, which was awesome. It was nice. Good thing for it was a good display of affection for Taker. And the fact that Vince let it go for that long shows how much he has respect for Taker. But then the crowd started turning and booing Roman, who didn't deserve it. And that's where I started to turn to him. Like, oh, come on, just leave him out of it. He doesn't need it. And then Roman comes out and doesn't say anything for almost 5 to 10 minutes. So annoying. I was sick of it by that point, and then I just wanted to die. So no, overall, I was not entertained.
I liked it. I thought it was brilliant, and to the point where the one thing that could really made the thing even better is if when the beach ball was flying around, if Roman would have came out, grabbed the beach ball, and popped it. That would have gotten so much more extra heat. Like, if he would have just came out and, like, interrupted the crowd during random parts of Raw just to really cement his heelness, that was the night to do it. It would have been hilarious, right? Like, you know, stop the wave and all this other bullshit that the stupid crowd's doing because, let's face it, the crowd's just trying to get itself over. Any crowd would have been chanting, thank you, Taker. It wasn't because that was a special crowd.
No.
Only a special crowd would continue to boo Roman. And Roman played that fucking brilliantly. He learned a thing from Mr. Jericho by just waiting it out. Then he only had the one line, and I thought it was really well done. I liked it because Roman's not known for being smart about working a crowd. I mean, that's one thing that's a thing that he does need to work on, but goddamn, he worked that crowd. He probably got good instructions from Vince on letting it go. I don't care. I was laughing, and I was kind of wondering, do they have enough security around here? Is somebody going to try to be a dumbass? Something. I liked it. I mean, it's better than seeing Gronkowski.
Fair enough. Overall, I was done. That 15 minutes took too much time of my time. All right. So, we're going to end everything like we always do with a fun little game called Guess the Wrestler. And since I am choosing the wrestler, we're calling it Guess the Rustler. Oh, yeah.
You know, it sounded better in my mind. Let's never do that again.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. So, as we do every week, one of us chooses a wrestler and the other two try to guess it. It's the 9 deuce. They get 9 questions and 2 chances. So, let me just pull up my information, make sure I'm not lying to you guys.
Russ is already cheating.
Yes, for my own guy.
You bastard.
All right. Go ahead with your questions.
Male or female?
Male.
Current?
No.
Performer? No?
No.
Era?
Attitude Era, definitely went a little bit beyond the Attitude Era, but not much.
Former world champion.
WWE. Okay, no.
Okay.
Which promotion are they most noted for? WWE, WCW, combination of the two.
Most noted for ECW. But he did have a stint in WWE.
And this isn't really a question, but you're stating that he had a stint in WWE. You're stating that he didn't have a stint in WCW.
I don't think he ever went to WCW. I don't see any information stating he did.
Okay. Did he hold a singles title in ECW?
He did.
Catchphrase. Does he have one?
I believe yes, but I don't know what it is. And if I'm pretty sure if I say it, if I think I know what it is, then it'll totally give it away. So I don't know if it was ever his catchphrase. So.
Okay. Did he change his character when he went into WWE?
When he went into WWE, not the second time. I do believe he stayed his ECW character. The silence. I'm trying to see.
So when he was in WWE, was he still a singles wrestler? Did he do any tag team wrestling?
He was in a stable when he went to WWE. Do you want me to give you the name of the, should I give you the name of the stable? Or would that be too much?
It may be too much.
Okay, so I'll just say a stable.
I just want to make sure you did say that he was an ECW world champion.
Yes, he was.
God damn it. Okay. Was that 7 or 9?
That was 7. You got 2 more.
Okay. Wow. This is tough. The whole world champion thing really throws me off. But I have a question. Did he...
Hold on. I'm reading something. Maybe he... Because I may have read this wrong. So I don't want to lie to you. Nope, he did. He did have it.
Okay. Did he have a different name... Did he have two different names between WWE and ECW?
In the beginning, I do believe, yes, he had a different name for his first time in World Wrestling Federation.
Wait, let me see if I can make Russ giggle. Eric really likes this guy, doesn't he?
Yes. Yes, he does. All right, that's your 9. Kerry. Eric does like this guy, so you might know the name.
I figured that was the most helpful thing I could really say.
Yeah, because up to that point, I had no idea.
I actually like him too.
Am I guessing or question right now?
You're guessing. You're on guessing now. You guys both
are. Oh, okay. Let's see. He has the T-shirt now, I think, still. So it'd be Justin Incredible?
Yes. Justin Credible.
Ah, okay.
Yes, Justin Credible.
I'm really glad I asked that last little tidbit.
Yep.
The helper.
What got you the name, Kat?
The fact that you said he was in a stable and he was a former ECW World Champion. The former ECW World Champion, by and large, a lot of them either went on to WCW or went on and had a WWE belt. The fact that he didn't...
Yeah.
Go, if you look through the ECW World Champion list, that narrows down like 95% of them.
Yeah. Well, I thought if I told you that, once I told you that his stable, if I told you stable X Factor, you would have gotten it, I think.
Yeah, I would have. At first, I was leaning towards Saturn, but then I was like, Saturn never held the World Championship.
Right.
He was the only other guy that fit the criteria, because Shane Douglas held a championship. Raven was in the... Well, both guys were in WCW.
Yeah.
Like, there just wasn't... If you really look, there's only one guy that fit that list.
Yeah, no, good job. All right. So... That's going to do it for us this week, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you enjoyed it. But this has been a long week of wrestling, and I think we're all sick of talking about it. So next week, hopefully, we'll be refreshed and ready to go. But other than that, guys, good talk, and we will see everybody next week. You know, we didn't do one thing today, and I'm kind of upset with ourselves. I just thought about it.
I didn't want to pull it out.
Well, maybe you should have thought about that. You should always pull out the 9deuce.com/wrestling to get all of your blog needs.
Normally, I'm not the one that pulls it out. That's Carrie's true. The one that pulls it out.
Carrie usually does pull it out, but this
Carrie, pull it out.
You mean 9deuce.com/wrestling?
Yes.
Yeah. Duh.
Where's the blog, guys?
It's at 9deuce.com/wrestling.
I can't hear you.
I do believe it's at 9deuce.com/wrestling. And anybody
well, and each time you say it, it's getting bigger and bigger.
I know. That's what it's supposed to do, isn't it?
That's the hope and the dream.
Right. As it comes out, you're supposed to be. It gets bigger and bigger. It's more people will watch and listen and read and everything.
Just don't go to 9deuce.com for more than 4 hours or else seek your doctor, please.
Yes, that's a big problem. All right. So for Kat and Carrie, I am Russ. We will see you guys next week.
Night, everyone.
Russ, I think that was like the longest meal I've ever seen anybody eat in my life.